In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The social teachings of our church are founded upon the sanctity of human life, and especially upon the teaching that life begins at conception. If we cannot protect the most innocent and defenseless among us, children in their mother's womb, then all our other efforts to protect the dignity of human life are inevitably compromised. Yesterday, Saturday, marked the 49th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the 1973 Supreme Court decision, which struck down all the laws protecting unborn children in our country, and discovered an unwritten and hitherto unknown right to abortion in the Constitution of the United States. Since that day, January 22, 1973, more than 1 million children a year, close to 60 million in all, have been aborted in this country. This has been a Holocaust of unimaginable proportions, dwarfing all the wars and genocides of the past century. And that does not include all the tens and hundreds of millions more who have been aborted in other countries, including places like India, China, and Russia, where abortion has been a government-sponsored policy of birth control. We are, sadly, living in what the late Pontiff John Paul II called a culture of death. In his great encyclical, The Gospel of Life, the Holy Father defined the challenges that we as Catholics face in our world today. The Second Vatican Council forcefully condemned a number of crimes and attacks against human life. 30 years later, I repeat that condemnation in the name of the whole Church. Whatever is opposed to life itself, such as any type of murder, genocide, abortion, euthanasia, or willful self-destruction, whatever violates the integrity of the human person, such as mutilation, torments inflicted on body or mind, attempts to coerce the will itself, whatever insults human dignity, such as subhuman living conditions, arbitrary imprisonment, deportation, slavery, prostitution, the selling of women and children, as well as disgraceful working conditions where people are treated as mere instruments of gain rather than as free and responsible persons. All these things and others like them are infamies indeed. They poison human society, and they do more harm to those who practice them than to those who suffer from the injury. Moreover, they are a supreme dishonor to the Creator. Unfortunately, this disturbing state of affairs, far from decreasing, is expanding, with the new prospects opened up by scientific and technological progress, there arise new forms of attacks on the dignity of the human being. At the same time, a new cultural climate is developing and taking hold, which gives crimes against life a new and, if possible, even more sinister character. Broad sectors of public opinion justify certain crimes against life in the name of the rights of individual freedom, and on this basis they claim not only exemption from punishment, but even authorization by the state, so that these things can be done with total freedom and indeed with the free assistance of healthcare systems. The fact that legislation in many countries, even departing from the basic principles of their constitutions, has determined not to punish these practices against life, and even to make them altogether legal, is a significant cause of grave moral decline. Choices once unanimously considered criminal and rejected by the common moral sense are gradually becoming socially acceptable. Even certain sectors of the medical profession, which by its calling is directed to the defense and care of human life, are increasingly willing to carry out these acts against the human person. In this way, the very nature of the medical profession is distorted and contradicted, and the dignity of those who practice it is degraded. In such a cultural and legislative situations, the serious demographic, social, and family problems which weigh upon many of the world's peoples and which require responsible and effective attention from national and international bodies, are left open to false and deceptive solutions, opposed to the truth and the good of persons and nations. The end result of this is tragic. Not only is the destruction of so many human lives still to be born or in their final stage extremely grave and disturbing, but no less grave and disturbing is the fact that conscience itself is darkened by such widespread conditioning and finds it increasingly difficult to distinguish between good and evil in what concerns the basic value of human life. We are indeed living in dark and difficult times, but we must, for the sake of our society and of our own consciences, raise our voices, both as individuals and as a church, to protest the wanton destruction of human life, and particularly of the most innocent and vulnerable lives, those of our unborn children. And so I would ask each of you, in your own circumstances and stations of life, to do all you can to oppose legalized abortion and to ensure that all children who are born into our world are wanted, nourished, and protected. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.